Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, just applauding myself. Nice. That, folks, is why we keep lids on our water bottles in the studio. That hour number two, that's James Ham. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tappy on the ones and twos helping us out. And everything's fine. Do we have a computer that needed to restart? Yes. Did I knock over my water bottle and accidentally hit the applause button? Yes. But we've made it for the second hour. We are here, leading you right into D'Lo and KC. They will take over at noon, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. So before we get to NFL tiers, which is coming up in about 18 minutes, wild weekend in the NFL tiers. Shams Charania, okay. ESPN Shams Charania.
Yep.
I have one gripe, and then we can talk about Shams. He had his NBA trade buzz column here. They're calling it Shams Inside Bass. I have one gripe. The headline on ESPN is everything Shams is hearing on NBA trade season. No chance. 0% chance that everything Shams wrote in this piece is everything he's hearing.
No, that's very true. There is no way that is accurate at all.
Because there's not that much in here, and I promise he knows more than this. So there's some stuff on Giannis that if we find out that the Kings are part of a three-team deal in a Giannis trade, then we'll talk about it. Anthony Davis gets mentioned. The Kings did not get mentioned. Pistons, Hawks, Raptors are that group. You have to scroll all the way down. Talks about Jonathan Kuminga, the Warriors trying to trade him. Okay. On the Kings front, he has the Kings and first-year general manager Scott Perry are using this season as a patient evaluation campaign trying to build a gritty culture. And I think that's the language. I think you're probably going to hear the words patient evaluation campaign or patience or patient or exercising patience or having patience. I think you're going to hear that a million times between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, Kings fans are patient zero. I mean, seriously.
Damn.
Like, how many times? How many times do you have to ask for patience?
I don't, but is Scott Perry asking fans for patience, or is he talking to Vivek? Is he?
Maybe everybody.
Is he trying to be like, I know this stinks. I don't think this is awesome. We're not going to do anything drastic to try and fix it now. Patience. I feel like he's talking to not Kings fans.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's very possible he's talking specifically to his owner. Maybe. But like, look, the problem is that you can't be the Sacramento asking for patience Kings.
Yeah, 100%.
Because if you're going to ask for patience, I'm going to say this again. I hate saying this again and again and again.
Nope.
If you're going to ask for patience, then show the same patience with everybody. Like, this team is not in a good place, but the only way to build a culture and to start and to do this gritty everything else is to give your head coach patience,
mm-hmm.
to let him ride out a season that's not very good. Like, so, okay, if you want to say, like, we need patience, then mm-hmm. show patience. Like, build the roster, strip it down to nothing. Start with a bunch of young players with your head coach. Let your head coach work with that young group of players. If he can't develop them in year two, year three of that build, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fire the guy. But look at Will Hardy out there getting contract extensions after winning 17 games last season.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you build a culture.
Yep.
You build a culture by choosing a path and sticking with it.
Yep.
And so, like, 10 head coaches since I started covering the team in the 2010-11 season.
Insane.
Of those 10, 8 of them have come since 2013 with Vek Ranadive running the team. Shows if you're going to ask for patience, then show it.
Yep. Yep.
Let players develop.
There's not going to be a fix-all that involves firing somebody right now.
Nope.
It's not going to be there. Shams continues about the Kings, and this isn't really anything new. They're open-minded about trade talks throughout the roster. Sources said teams are monitoring veterans Domantas Sabonis, Zach LaVine, and DeMar DeRozan, along with 25-year-old guard Keon Ellis. Nothing shocking there.
Nope.
What I would like to move to, though, is his bit about the Indiana Pacers, who beat the Kings last night. Says the Pacers are in active trade talks around the league to find a center of the future after losing Miles Turner in free agency. And I sort of wonder if they look at Domantas Sabonis and say, that could be a center of the future. I know he's 29, but chances are you're not going to find a young center that you can build around. Because if a team has a young center, they're probably trying to build around him.
Mm-hmm.
Or involve him in that. Khalil Ware comes to mind. Like, involve him in their build. I kind of wonder if the Pacers would call again and see if they can get Sabonis back.
That's interesting. I don't know how they would get there. I mean, clearly it would be like Obi Toppin, maybe. I don't think they're trading Nesmith. You know, they're certainly not trading Benedict Mathurin, mm-hmm. Isaiah Jackson. Like, maybe, but like to get to that dollar figure,
sure,
it's really, really difficult. So maybe that's what they're looking for, but I also think that they like a specific type of center, and they understand, you know, what the type of player that not only Pascal Siakam is, but that Tyrese Halliburton is, and that requires like a rim running, you know, mm-hmm. shot blocking, defensive minded guy like Miles Turner
mm-hmm.
that you lost. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's where they started looking for that. Like, is Daniel Gafford going to be available? Is you know, you mentioned Khalil Ware, but that type of player, and I don't think that they're going to be able to get Khalil Ware, but there are teams out there that would probably listen with that type of center.
Mm.
And so maybe it is a young center. I think, like, look, there are teams around the league that are going to be interested in Domantas Sabonis. He does a lot of good things, and he's a very, very good NBA player. But you got to find the right trade partners. And I think as of right now, the reason why we're hearing this idea of patience from Scott Perry is because he's really having a difficult time just finding easy trades,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not a good place to be in when you can't find the easy ones.
It's the place that everybody knew they were going to be, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody wondered, why don't you just trade your guys this offseason? Because, hey, I think you were going to have to attach picks. And if you're a new GM, the one good thing about the situation that Scott Perry stepped into was, hey, you have at least some semblance of a war chest of picks. Mm-hmm. You control your own picks for the next few years.
Yeah, all the way till 2032. The only thing you don't have is you have the pick swap in, I think, 2031 or 2030.
Right.
With the Spurs, but you also have an extra 2017, and the Spurs is unprotected. 2027, sorry. Mm-hmm. And a 2030 mm-hmm. Minnesota Timberwolves pick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got picks. You don't have a bunch of seconds, which is right. A problem. But
you finally put yourself in this position where you have some draft capital to deal with. Moving that draft capital just to get off of contracts, it was not what they wanted to do this offseason. Uh-huh. But this was always going to be the case. And this leads us to what Sam Amick said today. He said that Scott Perry is trying to convince Kings ownership that this turnaround is going to take 3 to 5 years. And like, yeah, man, that's always been when we've heard 2027, like that's been the magical date when the books are cleared. But that barring them hitting on Nick Clifford becoming an all-NBA guy or them drafting this year an MVP candidate type of player, this was always 2027 was going to be year like the start. Mm-hmm. It was going to take a couple of years just to fix the mess that the previous regime created.
Yep.
But my worry with this and you always talk about Jerry Reynolds' quote, if you have a 5-year plan, you have no plan. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a 5-year plan as much as it is hey, teams aren't biting on a DeMar DeRozan deal.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to trade Zach LaVine. This is going to take a couple of years just to get us to the point that we can actually start maneuvering. And from there, it's really difficult to just build a contender in year one.
Yeah.
So even if everything goes right, and you're doing all the right things, it's going to take a couple, 2-3 years before you start to really see the progress. Mm-hmm. And I don't hate, not saying that, because you're right, you don't want to become the team that, hey, they maintain so much flexibility and never do anything with it, but boy, are they flexible.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible. But the reality, let's zoom into what is and not what we want. What is that they might not be able to trade these guys. They might be in a situation where if they want to hold on to their draft picks and give themselves some ammo to, once they do have clear books, to trade some picks and bring in some stars, which may be what they have to do, mm-hmm. might have to wait until these contracts are off the books, because you may not be able to trade them.
Yeah. No, it's a really
kind of what it is.
It's a really, really tough spot to be in. And I get in, again, me and my son go back and forth on this all the time, mm-hmm. because his thing is like, hey, just dump everybody and start over fresh. And it's like, but that's not realistic. Like, there aren't just a whole bunch of trades waiting where you can dump players and get first and second round picks and move on. Like, we talk about, you know, whether it's, you know, the way that OKC rebuilt their team, right? Mm-hmm. OKC goes out there and they trade Paul George and they get a whole bunch of draft picks and they get a young Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You don't have a player that you can get multiple first round picks for at all. You don't. You don't have one of them. So how do you get those multiple first round picks? How do you get that young player that maybe someone else has overlooked on their roster and just needs a different opportunity? Well, you got to mine it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the tough thing. You've got to sit here. You know, I know this sounds crazy, but look at where Portland was a couple of years ago, and not this last offseason, but the season before. They went out there, they traded 2 first round picks to get Denny Avdija. Jeez, I cannot say it. Yeah.
Avdija.
Yeah. Okay.
Avdija?
Yeah, so they gave up a first round pick in that year's draft, and then which became Bub Carrington. And then they gave up a couple years later, they have another pick going out, right? And people are like, why would you do that? And then the guy's averaging, 26-7-7, and you start to realize that, they got a dude. They got an all-star level player, and it cost them 2 first-round picks. So I think that's why you hear, the Kuminga stuff so much with the Kings, because it's like, well, maybe we can find that guy that develops for us and becomes that guy. It becomes that number one option. But, look, this is a rough place to be in, and if you've got to here's the biggest issue. If you have to convince the guys, the guy who literally pushed for DeMar DeRozan to get signed and literally pushed for you to trade for Zach LaVine and got you in this situation, we can talk about the previous regime and what they did. These decisions were ownership decisions as much as anything else. Like the decision to get Zach LaVine as opposed to trading De'Aaron Fox, taking back more assets, taking back expiring contracts, that wasn't Monty McNair's idea to go out and trade for Zach LaVine.
Right.
Straight up, it's not. And so people can, again, it's going to be on his
resume.
Yeah, his general manager gravestone, realistically. But it wasn't really him. And the same thing you can say about DeMar DeRozan. Like that, there's a specific type of player. We saw it for a couple of years that Monty was looking for.
6'2" to 6'4".
Yeah. Either way, like I'm just watching this thing unfold and like, how do you have to convince somebody of something that's so obvious that they played a huge part in creating?
Mm-hmm.
Like how we got here so quickly is just like one of the most baffling things.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Of all time and infuriating.
Yep.
Because it did not have to go this way at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation that was created by poorly managed ownership and front office.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got yourself into a situation that literally was so avoidable and so easy to see.
Yep.
So, you know, I always talk about like Austin Powers, he's driving a steamroller down. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy who's like 25 feet away and starts like, oh no, don't run me over. And he's like, move. Like, ah, like, hey dude, move.
Right.
And then finally they run him over and it's like, hey, like you didn't get out of the way. Yeah. Everyone could have seen what was coming.
Right. Literally everyone saw this except you. And now somebody else has to convince them that it's going to take a while to undo that mess.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about Zach LaVine's comment about how he could score 42 a night if they gave him the damn ball more. Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee got some clarity on that at sacbee.com. We'll talk about that, and we'll also have our Tuesday tiers in the NFL. Lots of movement in the Tuesday tiers. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. I'm Kyle. He's James. Jesse Tapia helping us out on the ones and twos. We have NFL Tuesday tiers coming up in just a little bit. What was the other thing I said we were going to do? What else I said we were going to do?
I don't know.
We're Zach LaVine?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm glad somebody on this show listens.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure not. You think I listen to me? No chance. We talked a lot about Zach LaVine yesterday and the reported quote after the Kings win over the Miami Heat. And we'll also get to Mark Robertson on the Oak Grove Kia Talk Line.
Oh, Mark's still there?
Yeah, he's still hanging out.
Boy, he 916-909. Full-fledged tank commander.
1320. Yeah, he's in the trenches. He's in the trenches right
patiently
now.
Patiently waiting for his shot.
All quiet on the Oak Grove Kia Talk Line front for Mark Robertson. We got some clarity from Sacramento Bee's Chris Biederman on Zach LaVine's quote the other night after he scored 42. Reporter from Hoops Hype on Zach's way to the bus said, hey, scored 42, that's crazy. And he said, I could do that every night if they just gave me the damn ball more. We talked about it. Turns out, according to Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee, that Zach LaVine did not know he was talking to a reporter and said that that person paraphrased him out of context.
Okay.
I think we as a collective need to understand what the word context means, because when you say a thing that sucks, you don't get to just go, oh, context. Okay, then give me the context where that is okay. Give me the context where you throwing your teammates under the bus is a thumbs up. Because there's not. Like, there's not. This, do I have it right now? I don't. I have that drop of Kenny saying, I love Jerry Jones. That's out of context. Because the context there is Kenny saying, I would never say, I love Jerry Jones. And then I just cut out the I would never say part to say, that's out of context. So anyways, that's a little side beef that I have with this.
Yep.
Anyways, he's told Chris Biederman in the Sacramento Bee, and you can read more about this at sacbee.com. Said, quote, sometimes you talk a little mess to people. I'm a confident guy, so I'm going to go out there and talk a little mess sometimes. I think when you have a good game like that, you're very excited. For me, I know I can get it going at any time, regardless of any situation I'm in. I just take it as a thing with my confidence.
Okay.
Oh, that's the context? Okay, thanks. Yeah, all right. So you think that you're the best player on the team and that you should get the ball every single time?
Yeah, look, I think there is a way in which someone's talking to you, and again, he clearly does not understand that he's media. I've been through these situations mm-hmm. before, right? Mm-hmm. There was years ago, there was a situation where someone may have sent not a reporter to go cover a game as a media member that he really wasn't a media member, circumvented the Kings media relations staff to get the guy in the door. And then that guy stumbled into a room where Rajon Rondo was getting treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So not the locker room, but some other room adjacent.
In a
training room.
Where you do not go.
Yeah, and had a phone out or something and asked Rondo very specifically what he thought of George Karl, who had, had taken mm-hmm. over the team earlier. And this was in preseason, and Rondo said, oh, bleep that guy. No, I don't like playing for him. Rondo was messing with the guy, not knowing that it was actually a guy who was not really a reporter, but acting as a reporter for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that video goes out, and it's completely taken out of context. Again, Rondo shouldn't have been a smartass
mm-hmm.
and said what he said, but at the same time, he didn't know that it was a reporter, and he thought it was just all in fun.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, what do you think of George Karl? Oh, bleep that guy, whatever, mm-hmm. So that made its way out there, and it was like, oh my gosh, Rondo calls out George Karl. It's like, did he though? And so sometimes, like, you have to understand that there is some sort of context that sometimes does matter, but Zach also has to watch what he's saying, because we live in a world that, again, is waiting for Zach LaVine to say something silly that will be taken out of context and run mm-hmm. with.
If he had said, I could do that every night, mm-hmm. that's confidence. Mm-hmm. Saying, I could do that every night if they gave me the damn ball more, that's an insight into how you feel about this team.
Yeah.
And it just ran counter to this idea that, oh, we're all working so hard to figure this out. Like, no, you're not. You're working so hard to figure out how you can get yours every night.
Yep.
That's all. That don't hate. Like, that's just what that is. Anyway, yeah. Shout out to Chris Biederman for chasing that down. And shout out to our guy Mark Robertson for being on hold for an hour and a half. Let's get out to the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Hey, when the Kings lose, we know our guy Mark is hyped. What's up, Mark?
What's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
What's going on, man? Happy holidays.
Oh, thank you. Happy holidays to you guys, too. First off, I just wanted to make sure that I gave you guys your honorary Tank General's badges, as after I listened to the playback yesterday, you guys were very all for the tank. So I welcome you to the Tank Army. Sure. And second off, my question is, I've been doing a lot of card investment on Clifford and Raynell already. And I was wondering, I heard you say, James, that you were a sports card collector as a younger James. I was wondering if you guys could get a one-of-one of any player, who would it be of any sports? Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Good question. Any player? Ooh. I have to think about that. That's going to require a lot of thought, and I have to, like, speak into a microphone.
Okay, so just like any sports card ever? Like, I don't know.
Let's go current player.
Current active player.
Wembanyama feels like a right answer.
Any current player.
Victor Wembanyama is a good one.
Yeah, like,
are we going for max value here? That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, if you're going for max value, it'd be Wemby, some one-of-one rare Wemby.
Give me a one-of-one rookie card. It's going to be worth about $500,000 20, 30 years from now.
Get a one-of-one LeBron.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be worth some to somebody.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going back, like,
I feel like LeBron would buy a one-of-one LeBron card from me.
I've also, like, as you get older, you're like, okay, you know what? I do have, ooh, like, discretionary income here and there that I could...
Sure.
Like, because when you're a kid and you're trying to trade cards, or you're going to card shows and there's all these cards there that you would mm-hmm. love to have, but you know you're never going to get your hands on.
Of course.
Like, I would love, like, a Joe Montana rookie. Or the Jerry Rice, what is it, the 85, like the green and yellow border rookie, a Ricky Henderson rookie. I'd love to have a Mickey Mantle card.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that maybe I'll go do someday.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like new stuff, I don't know. Like, when
I feel
you,
like a one-of-one Steph Curry could fetch some coin.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That'd be gas.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I know, like the jersey cards
this
and stuff.
This isn't nothing I think about that much.
Okay. It isn't, yeah, because I don't collect a bunch of cards now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have friends that do what Mark is doing. Like, they go out and they get a bunch of cards. Like, I think, was it the 93 draft? I had a ton, because that's when they start making, like, a bunch of different brands of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, like, that draft, I had just stacks of cards. All rookie stuff, and to be honest with you, I don't even know where they all went. But yeah, too bad.
Man.
Do you have a prized card, like, possession? A prized possession?
Yeah, so I got in a pack of cards at Target I was probably in sixth grade, a Kobe Bryant jersey card, but it also has Darius Miles on it.
Oh.
And so it's a Darius Miles, Kobe Bryant dual jersey card.
Oh.
Yeah. I also have a Cal Ripken Jr. rookie card.
Okay.
You
never got his brother with the bat?
Billy Ripken? No,
yeah.
I don't have that. My old man might, but I don't have that one. I also believe I acquired via the old man my dad, not just a random old man. My dad.
Hey, kid.
a Nolan Ryan rookie card.
Ooh.
With Nolan Ryan and Jerry Kuzman.
Yeah, what, 1967? 67 or 69? Yeah.
69, I think. Is his rookie year was the Miracle Mets?
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, I have a 61 Brooks Robinson. Oh, and I have a 58 Ernie so Banks.
Fire. So sad.
Yeah. So, it's like, so when cool. I was young, I collected, you know, but they're probably beat up now, and, like, they're not, like, all in glass cases and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think I have a Mark McGwire 87 Tops signed from my first game ever.
Ooh, that's sick. That's
yeah, really the cool. Wood border.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tight. All right, let's get to NFL tiers. I never even did an intro for this.
Finally, that's why I showed up.
Sick. We'll start in the AFC. Tier 1 stays the same. Bills, Patriots, Broncos. Nothing has happened that makes me think any of those teams are not in Tier 1. Although, I sort of feel like the Bills might be separating themselves because I trust Josh Allen the most. But I'm not ready to put them there alone just yet. That fair for everybody?
Yeah, I like all those teams right now, so I'm not going to fight you on anything.
Okay. That might change. My goal is to have one tier one team in each conference going into the playoffs, but I'm not ready to separate Bills, Pats, and Broncos just yet. Tier two, I have one team in tier two in the AFC. This is the team that I think maybe they can win the Super Bowl, but I'm not totally there yet. Wouldn't be floored if they won it. And the Texans.
Yeah, I could tear an argument as to why they're the second best team in the AFC right now.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. I've got some question marks about their offense still, but I think they are tier two and trending up, and they're alone in tier two. They're the only other team in the AFC that if you told me that team won the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be.
Yeah, right now they're playing their best football.
Yeah,
I would say that there's one other team that I'm going to say is really close. They're on the cusp, and I know it took like five turnovers from Hurts last night to beat the Eagles, but I'm starting to see the outline of a quarterback who's figuring it out how to win.
And Justin Herbert?
Yeah, Justin Herbert. And the talent has always been there, but whether or not he can actually put it together and win has always been a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to see that was gritty. I need to see more. Yeah.
It was, for sure. That was a really, really fine win for the Chargers.
They're 9-4.
I'm keeping them in tier three for now.
Yeah, I'm not buying them yet. Jalen Hurts played like a bunch of booty yesterday. It was
that
horrible.
Was really bad.
Yeah, but they can beat anybody on any given week.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree. We've talked about this with the Chargers though before. Because of their uniforms, I'm gonna have to see it. Like I'm serious.
Well, it's not like their offensive line isn't great either. The Eagles' offensive line was in the backfield a bunch of times going against Herbert.
68% pressure rate.
Yeah, I don't see it yet.
Ridiculous. Yeah, and their offensive line's not good enough. And I thought, man, this Chargers team is pretty good. And then they got mollywopped by Houston in the first round of the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
They're going to be tier three along with the Chiefs and Jags. The Chiefs and the Jags are the other tier three teams along with the Chargers.
The Chiefs don't belong here.
Yeah.
The Jags and Chargers, they're playing good football and all that stuff.
Do I have to move the Jags and Chargers up then?
No, you're going to move the
because
Chiefs.
Because I have tier three as the good, not great teams. These are teams that probably finish above 500, but they're not a real threat. I think the Chiefs probably finish above 500. I don't think they're a real threat.
I'm not sure that they finish above 500.
I'm not either.
Really?
Yeah.
They got Denver coming up. They still got to beat the Chargers next week.
Yeah.
Like, they have a tougher schedule.
6-7, the only thing they could do is, like, they've almost got to win out.
Mm.
Yeah. What do they have to go, 3-1 to finish?
2-1?
Yeah,
3-1.
3-1. Ooh.
Okay.
Boy, that's tough.
Okay, so we want to move the Chiefs down into the good, bad teams?
Yes.
Yeah, because
it feels wrong, but yes. I mean, they're 6-7 right now.
They're here with the Ravens, who I've moved down.
Yeah, that feels right. The Ravens are,
And I've dropped the Colts, too.
Oh, yeah.
Colts
were
hanging in there in tier two.
Phillip Rivers, Colts?
Yeah, they're in tier four. They might go to tier 44 for how old Phillip Rivers is.
Can we just call him Indiana Rivers now? Can we just do that?
No, James.
Can we just call him?
Yeah. Doesn't work.
Indiana Rivers.
I can't believe he's playing. That's insane.
I can't believe it isn't Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like 5 years ago was his last game. Now he's back. Like, sir, like, no, nah, like, I don't know.
Save their season, this guy who perennially couldn't get over the hump at 44 after 5 years off, it's going to be like, yeah, Phillip Rivers, Super
Bowl
winner.
But if he gets them to the playoffs, it's one of the greatest stories of all time.
I agree. I agree with you.
Okay, but he has, I think he has 11 children and one grandchild, or maybe it's 10
children.
Oh, yeah,
that's been out there. He's got a grandkid.
You got a grandpa at quarterback.
Shout out.
I'm tired of this, grandpa.
What in the world is happening?
Tier 4, Ravens, Chiefs, Colts, which is just insane that all three of those teams have fallen this far. And they're in there with the Steelers, Bengals, and Dolphins.
Yep, damn right they are.
This is a great one. Old Man Rivers from Randy in the chat.
Yeah, those teams are all kind of just, like they can beat you on any given night, but they're not really going to do anything. Yeah. Like the Bengals could beat the Ravens this week, vice versa, whatever.
I've got something to say about this.
What?
The Dolphins are the only Tier 4 team that's trending up.
Oh.
They called me a madman. They called me crazy. But here we are. Kyle said that, not me.
Tier 5.
Trending up. You hear that, Ma?
Tier 5, Browns, Raiders, Jets, Titans, and I feel good about it.
Yeah.
Browns, let's go to the NFC.
Raiders, Jets, Titans, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Go to the NFC. The Rams stay alone in Tier 1. We're good with that?
I don't know. Packers are like, I don't know. Packers, I hate them or I love them.
Packers, I have moved between tier 2 and 3 based on whether they win or lose on a given week.
Yes.
But I think they're the top of tier 2.
Seattle belongs here too.
Seattle. We talk about this every week, dude.
I know, I get it, but they
not
belong here.
They're tier 1 as long as Sam Darnold is their quarterback.
It's not fair.
I'm standing. Unless... I'm 10 toes. Hang on. I've got somebody for this.
Standing on business.
Oh, shout out.
I'm not putting Seattle in tier 1 as long as Sam Darnold's our quarterback.
I have a take.
Go ahead.
The only teams that can come out of the NFC this year are the three NFC West teams or the Packers.
I've got that's basically what tier 1 and 2 are.
Yeah.
Rams I think are to me the clear favorite right now.
Yep.
Packers and Seahawks could also come out of the NFC. I don't think the 49ers can.
You think the
I'm not there yet with San Francisco.
Okay. You think the Seattle can come out of the...
Yes.
Okay. Their defense is awesome.
Seattle's sick. Seattle is literally... We're all just scarred and scared from Sam Darnold.
That's it. That is what it is. If they were having this exact same season and Geno Smith was their quarterback, I'd be like, yeah, it's a tier one team.
They're dominant right now.
They're so freaking good, man.
No, I get it. I get it.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. In fact, you know what? Week 16, I believe, is Rams-Seahawks.
Yeah, Rams-Seahawks. In Seattle, I believe.
That'll be for tier one.
Okay, that works.
If Sam Darnold can go beat the Rams, that's a thumbs up for me. That's a big spot. He comes through in a big spot. I'll be.
Where do we got the Eagles?
They moved down to tier 3.
They're losing.
I'm done with the
Eagles.
They're
losing the wild card round if they win that division.
I'm done
if they win that division.
The Eagles might be done with the Eagles.
Yes. We had the happiness bunny in the locker room?
Yeah, the positivity bunny or something?
Yeah, it was the positivity bunny. It's like, all right, just you know what, turn your pads in now and just let Dallas win that
division. The positivity bunny, that's worse than a team meeting. Just have the damn team meeting.
They're only like a game up on Dallas right now, or a half game. Like, ties are weird. They got to go into Buffalo still.
Here, I have a question for NFC football fan. Niners, Rams, Seahawks, Buccaneers, whatever. You're going into a playoff game. Let's say you can host it. You can host a playoff game. Would you rather play the Cowboys or Eagles right now?
I think I'd rather play the Eagles.
I would way rather play the Eagles.
Because
here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers
earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I think straight up, if you just stack the line and stop Saquon, and you might not even have to stack the line to stop Saquon at this point, but if that's what you do, I don't think Hurts can beat you.
They're not figuring it out. Totally. We're 13, 14 games in. They're not. This is who they are.
But yeah,
Jalen Hurts and we've seen it in the Nick Sirianni era. When they don't have something figured out, they're not going to do it midseason.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Eagles are for sure going to win the NFC West, or the NFC East, excuse me. They're definitely not going to win the NFC West. That is a tier three ass football team. They're with the Bears, they're with the Lions, Buccaneers, Cowboys, 49ers, and Panthers.
That's fair enough right now.
I have no teams in tier four in the NFC.
I just feel like the 49ers, especially with their schedule that's remaining, I think they're a tier two team.
They're gonna have to prove it come playoff time.
I agree.
Yeah.
They need to prove it.
I see the vision, but it's just I don't love the defense yet. They still don't rush the quarterback.
Can you take care of business against Tennessee and then against Phillip Rivers? And then what does it look like against Chicago and what does it look like against Seattle? Because those are two, I think, bona fide playoff teams. How does your defense hold up there? I just gotta see it first.
Yeah.
I think I figured out why Jalen Hurts is so bad this year.
Okay.
Because he's on team My Bass Hurts. That's why. That's why.
Officially, because, finally eliminated. Good God.
Because
was this you guys?
Yeah, that's the James and Kyle fantasy team.
It's tough.
Yeah.
We got eliminated with a win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're 5-10.
Oh, you guys. They get in with a win and some help.
That was it. No, never mind. Nobody cares. I was going to go in on my dynasty team.
That's true, yeah.
But I was not supposed to make the playoffs. Had a huge win. Ended up making it. And now I
got
to go.
We'll talk after the show because I got some things like that too.
Okay, great. So Eagles, Bears, Lions, Buccaneers, 49ers, Cowboys, Panthers. Those are all tier three teams.
Hey, shout out to the Panthers, possible NFC South champions.
Legit.
Yeah, I'm taking the Panthers. I'll take the Panthers over the Bucks the next 3 weeks. Four weeks, however much it is.
Tier four, good, bad teams, probably below 500, but hard to beat. I think there are zero of those teams in the NFC.
Yeah, no. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons, the only team that's like, hey, maybe, but
they stink.
They're tier five team.
And then tier five, I've moved the Cardinals out of tier four. The Cardinals are one whole ass.
Move Michael Wilson into tier four, move the Cardinals into tier five.
Michael Wilson. Speaking of fantasy football. No, Cardinals, Vikings, Falcons, Commanders, Giants, Saints are the dregs.
Eagles are losing once.
We went a little long in this segment, didn't we?
Oh my God.
Are you guys still talking?
Yep. Jesse, can we not be talking anymore?
Right.
I'm Kyle. He's James. Jesse Tapia on the ones and twos. D'Lo and KC are here. It is the handoff on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. JJ Watt just tweeted the funniest thing about Phillip Rivers, who's the Colts quarterback, apparently. He said, fun fact learned in production meetings, Philip Rivers ran the same offense as the Colts for his son Gunner's high school team this season. He and Shane Steichen spoke weekly about it, discussing plays and even film. So familiarity with the scheme should be no problem whatsoever. I have two things on this. One, Shane Steichen was taking time out of his week to help Philip Rivers coach a high school team. That would piss me right off if I was a Colts
fan. Had to get a kid's perspective.
Yes.
He's like, hey, come here. I need someone younger than me to look at this offense.
And while you're here, can you explain 6'7"?
Yeah. I was at Trader Joe's on Saturday, and I heard this parent, and this kid must have always shout out Trader Joe. This kid must have been, 6 or 7.
Oh.
The dad goes, what does that mean? And just, I knew what was happening in this situation. As we're grabbing our frozen orange chicken, oh my God, it's incredible. I'm sure it's terrible for you, but it's incredible.
Don't worry about that.
I just knew what they were talking about. And the kid goes, stop saying 6'7". And all I could think was, buddy.
I heard Monty's still out here. Well, he's been out here.
I hope he's not listening.
Like in the last week and a half. I don't know if he still lives out here or not.
Monty. No, Monty lives here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, somebody said they saw him at the coffee shop like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I saw him when...
He got a remote position with the Clippers.
When the Clippers rolled through, he came to the game and was all like nothing but love, like
I'm sure
big hug.
I'm
still here. There's no reason. He's like I'm gonna dive back in next year. He's like, so there's no reason to move the family yet. We're we've got our patterns and our what we're doing here. Like the wife has the kids going here and here and here, and he's like, there's no reason to move everybody until. We know where we're going.
Completely makes sense why the Clippers have not made any moves yet, but they've been talking about making moves.
They're like, Monty, we need you to advise.
Monty was a really nice guy.
Maintain flexibility.
Guys, just wait. Wait. Don't do anything. Till when, Monty? I don't know. Just wait.
But the first thing you do, make sure you pull off that John Collins trade. Get John Collins in here, because I couldn't get him in here in Sacramento.
Well, hey, I tried, but our coach hated him.
It might not even get that far. He might just keep postponing the meeting. It's like, I'm trying to maintain flexibility in my schedule. We could just do that. Here's my other issue with this JJ Watt tweet.
How's Utah doing? The Utes. Anybody know? I should know that. That's my wheelhouse.
I was going to say, I don't know.
That's where Wes is.
I know. I don't even know if Sac State's record.
Like a game under 500.
No. So JJ Watt, going back to this tweet, the last part of it was, so familiarity with this game should be no problem whatsoever. Brother, that is the last thing anyone cares about, with the fact that 44-year-old Philip Rivers, who's been retired for 5 years, coming back to play quarterback, nobody's like, yeah, but what about the scheme fit? Not a single person. It's like, how is he going to learn the offense? Like, brother, how is he going to wake up in the morning?
That's what I say all the time. Look, I'm sure.
Wake up in the morning is a little... That's a little much.
He's 44. He's right on the edge.
Well, look.
I mean, after taking hits and
James is like, on borrowed time here at this point.
Hey, look, isn't that literally the reason why they haven't signed him or haven't gone all the way? They're like, we want to see how he does this morning.
Yeah, after working out, he exercised, and they're like, all right, let's see. How you feeling, Phil?
I tell you, man, you take the creatine, he should be okay.
Yeah, man.
I think they have stronger stuff in the National Football League to help Philip Rivers get through. Yeah.
This guy didn't play, but this is kind of like, I guess, when the Raiders signed Jeff George in 2006.
I saw a clip of Jeff George throw a rocket last night, randomly, just on my timeline, threw a rocket like 55, 60 yards on a
current
rope.
Jeff George?
No. This is
no.
This is like when he plays.
I was thinking Jeff George threw a rock at someone's window because he's still a jerk.
Threw a rocket
from 60 yards away. Glass.
He threw a rocket to James Jett in Seattle. That was just, that dude had an arm.
Hey, here's something crazy. Jeff George and Philip Rivers.
The same age
share
right
a birthday.
That's crazy.
Well,
not same. Well, I was about to say same year.
No, not quite. Jeff George, 58.
Look, man. Hey, look. I'm sure if you give him the iPad, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar could understand the complex nature of what the Lakers' offense is. That doesn't mean he should be playing.
Right. Right.
Bro, Shane Steichen and Phillip Rivers were having a couple beers after their high school football practice. Like, hey, what if you came back?
Hey, Kyle, I'm the opposite.
Do you think Shane Steichen called him as a joke? Was like, hey, Phillip, we got this kid Riley. He's got a knee thing. You want to come in and work out? And Phil's like, yeah, when do you want me there?
I was waiting for your call.
Oh, thank God. I've been stretching.
Kyle, I'm the exact opposite of you. Put that old man under center on Monday night. We're going to beat his ass. Put that old man out there.
Unless they looked at it and went, okay.
I'm a little scared. Sorry.
Unless they looked at it and they went, all right, well, he's not going to play week one because he's got to get his legs back under him and stuff, so he's not going to play against Seattle. But then that weak-ass Niner pass rush is coming up on Monday night.
He won't get touched.
Well,
against the Niners.
Yeah.
Although, my boy Cleve Farrell, shout out to him.
Tied for the team leading sacks.
Come on, man, Cleve Farrell.
It's tough.
Yeah, man.
Game changer.
Tom Brady retired at 45. Phillip Rivers has been retired for 5 years and is 44.
And is younger than Tom Brady.
Phillip Rivers retired the COVID season.
Yes. He did.
Yes.
Yeah,
Phillip Rivers hasn't played in a stadium full of people in 6 years.
Oh, man.
The good news is he can't hear anymore. So
that's the shoe, right? Like
was the last team that he played?
I thought he did have. No, maybe I'm.
What was the last team that he played for that wasn't the Colts? That wasn't a COVID situation. Well, also, it was the NFL. The stadium was probably full. I don't know if you know this. COVID didn't actually hit the NFL.
Good point.
Sorry, it's just the Chargers.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Then he still wasn't playing in front of a packed house, so it didn't matter.
He just wasn't a Charger fan.
I'm sorry, he played that playoff game. Game against the Bills. That's where I had Philippers and Bills in my head. Let's see, 2019, the Chargers.
Well, no matter what, he's probably going to be better than Jalen Hurts was last night.
His last game with fans was at Kansas City.
Kyle Mattson said, "The hell with your segue." No way.
Well, I was looking. I was still do your segue again. Sorry,
no, I was.
It works better if you do it a second time.
I was cracking up at this. Did you see Jalen Hurts's QBR was 31.3?
I was at that high.
If he would have,
that's a great question.
If he would have spiked the ball on every play, it would have been 39.6.
Oh, his quarterback, like his passer rating.
Yeah, yeah,
QBR.
Yeah.
QBR and passer rating are different,
QBR.
Which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But
if he would have spiked it on every play.
Yeah.
He was horrible
Seems
yesterday.
Like a flawed stat to say.
It's like the plus minus in the NBA.
Yeah.
Somebody brought this up, and I thought it was just me, but then somebody else brought it up, and now I can't stop thinking about it. Does it feel like when Jalen Hurts throws it, every single time is like this labor-intensive process?
Mm.
Like every time he throws, it's like, oh, God, I got to get you see him make, like, really laboring to get through his motion.
Yeah.
It feels very strange to me.
Through the thought process, too, it feels like. He's not. I don't feel like he's trusting what he's seeing.
Mm-hmm. He didn't know he was thrown to that player at the end of the game until he made his decision, like in a split second, and that's what cost him.
Yeah, he's not. It doesn't feel like he's trusting the offense, trusting what's supposed to be there or not. He's seeing everything a little late.
Mm-hmm.
If he hadn't won a Super Bowl, I'd say you can't win a Super Bowl with that guy.
That's it. He's the weirdest player in that regard.
Yeah.
He's so. I don't know of any other athlete in sports that's like Jalen Hurts.
Mm.
In terms of, we saw him lose a Super Bowl, but he was one of the best players in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Then we saw him win a Super Bowl.
He was cooking
in a Super Bowl. And then we've seen him look like a player that you go, hey, should he start? Like, I don't know how I feel about Jalen Hurts.
Mm.
I have no idea of what he is as a quarterback.
That whole offense is bad vibes right now, though.
Totally.
It's not, like, I don't think it's just like, oh, like Jalen Hurts stinks, no doubt right now. But it's also like, I'm sure him and AJ Brown are on the same page. They all hate the offensive coordinator. I mean, it's just that whole, they need a bit of a reset this offseason.
They've scored less than 19 points 4 out of the last 5.
Mm.
And the one that they scored.
Yeah, 19, 15, 21, 16, 10.
But that one they scored 21 in, they were up 21-0 in the first half?
Yeah.
Well, I thought we were talking about Zach LaVine. My bad.
Oh, James.
So we're not talking about Keegan Murray's ass? Mm. We're just going to keep giving him a pass? We're just going to be like, no, it's all right. It's other people's fault?
No.
Scored 26 that one,
though. That was, yeah, that was great. It
you have to stop saying, 12 you have to stop saying we and direct all of your energy that way. Because I regularly hold Keegan Murray accountable, and saying we is like the room. Just look to your left and address the man that you're talking to.
Yep.
He had 12 threes that one game, though. That was cool.
He's had, what was he, 2 of 11 and then 3 of 11 last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's looked like Keegan Murray.
Nah, he's not that bad. Like, Keegan is not that bad.
I just mean, no,
that's
I mean,
not
from
a, that,
I,
like,
I'm
the
sorry,
way
not from
those
a,
two games
the
aren't
percentage,
okay.
Well, we talked about this earlier. The percentages are not career low field goal percentage, career low 3-point percentage. I think the percentages will tick up. It's the attempts for me. Mm. It's the 11, 11, 12, 13, whatever it is in his last four games.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're back to this. We're back to Keegan.
Yeah.
Not, being too
well,
passive.
We never had left it.
Well, the first couple games, it's like, oh, aggressive Keegan, here we go. Mm-hmm. And nope.
Yeah, I was ready to take Domantas Sabonis' ass to the airport thinking, hey, maybe Keegan is just better without Domas. Mm. Domas didn't play last night.
No.
Keegan.
We still have no update on that, just so you know.
Weird.
On Domas?
Yeah, no update on Domas. No idea what's kept.
Dennis Schroeder still
Dennis
questionable?
Schroeder.
Yeah, the Dennis Schroeder thing. Like Domas is fine. Like, I think we looked at the... We didn't have Domas back till, what, like another week or two?
No.
The Dennis thing is weird.
He's in the middle of the 3 to 4 weeks right now, Domas is. He's been out.
Well, if he's in the middle, that means he's still...
Like somewhere in the middle. No, I mean he's between 3 and 4 weeks
since
the injury.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I went back and looked. It was November 16th he had the MRI.
Okay.
So we're I don't know.
Man.
Quite a bit into that. 23, 24 days.
And Dennis is just like, how you feel today? Nah.
I'm questionable.
I feel questionable.
Day to day, but aren't we all day to day?
Yeah, and we're Thank all you, listening Kyle to Shanahan. KIFM West Sacramento, KRX QHG2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader, always free on the Odyssey app. Yeah, man, I don't, the Dennis Schroeder thing is very weird, but I also don't know how much it matters.
Dennis was really good coming off the bench.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Like when they made that switch, it was good. Like he would have helped them last night a lot.
Sure.
I mean, does it matter in the scheme of the season?
Yeah,
It doesn't. But Dennis could have helped. I mean, again, depending on who you are, Dennis could have helped them win that game last night.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Maybe that's not a thing anyone wants at this point. Maybe even Scott doesn't want that at this point. I have no idea.
Yeah, but there's a fine line between. Like James and I talked about these yesterday, where you're at this point now, where when they lose, you start looking at draft position. The idea of let's see what this team looks like, let's see what they get. No, we're 24 games in, they've won 6 of them. Mm-hmm. Like we're fully into the like, okay, where are they at in draft position? Like we're fully onto that. But I also don't think that I would say I'm pro tank right now, because to me, tanking is. Hey, we're going to make up an injury for Zach LaVine. We're going to make up an injury for DeMar DeRozan. And we're just going to throw Devin Carter out there. And we're going to bring in Dylan Cardwell. And we're just going to throw him out there. Like, I don't think that losing on purpose instills the things they want to be instilling. Hmm. And builds the culture they want to be building. I think things like fighting back from down 19 to take a lead in Indiana. It's like, okay, it's Indiana. They stink. And being down 19 to them is not some accomplishment. But I'd rather see them, if it means winning 5 or 6 more games because they are some version of trying to build those habits and build that culture, I would way rather the Kings wind up picking 7th and have won a few extra games than,
bless you.
Than pick 3rd because, man, they just pulled the plug super early and lost a bunch of games by 30. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. That's tanking to me.
Yeah, but the only way out of this mess is realistically for them to draft in the top 3 and get a star.
Yeah, sure, I think your logic might be flawed because there might be some stars at the top of this draft.
But we keep going, just because they finish with the 7th worst record in the league doesn't mean they can't pick first.
No, that's
for
true.
Sure.
Like
no,
that's
no,
no, that's it. So I'd rather take that risk. Like it's all a risk. It's all a gamble. You could have the worst record in the league and what the Jazz pick this year? Fifth?
Man, they're tied for the third worst
sixth,
record.
Yeah. Yeah, like they
fifth or sixth.
Yeah, so
it
so,
was the worst spot that they could finish with the
right.
placement that they were.
And I'd rather take the risk of, all right, hey, you might pick seventh, but hey, at least there was some semblance of like trying to build this culture that they keep talking about trying to build. Mm. Maybe I'm in La La Land.
Nah. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's not. We're always going to find something to talk about and something to discuss because mm-hmm. there's a number of different angles that you could take. On sports in general, but with the Kings. But like the thing I think about is, I don't want to say I don't care where you're picking, but I don't care where you're picking. You have to pick the right guy.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. You got to pick. If you're the seventh pick, you find an all-star at seven.
Mm-hmm.
Or get creative with trades or whatever you got to do and make sure that trade is correct or whatever. We go through it all the time, and I know the odds are high, so I get that. But, I mean, how much of a sure thing was Zion Williamson? How much of a sure thing was Andrew Wiggins?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, these guys, Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker, that was the equivalent of what we were seeing today when the people were leading up to that draft, talking about tanking for Jabari Parker. Jabari Parker, when it was still a thing, was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high school senior.
Yep.
As the next one. Like, and he was that good.
Mm-hmm.
But injuries happen. In the case of Andrew Wiggins, maybe just not as good as we expected. So where you're drafting, and I love Darren Peterson. I love A.J. DeBunsta mm-hmm. as much as anybody. I think those mm-hmm. guys are the absolute truth, and I would love to have them here in Sacramento. But that doesn't guarantee you anything. You gotta hit.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hit on the pick no matter where it's at.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just two of the greats that are still playing right now. Well, actually, we can go three, but – you know, Blake Griffin, the number one pick in the 2009 NBA draft. The number two pick is Hashim Thabeet.
Mm.
Number three pick is James Harden. Number four is Tyreke Evans. Then you go Rubio and Flynn. Number seven, Steph Curry. Number eight, how would you like to be Jordan Hill, that's right in between Steph
Arizona
Curry
legend.
And DeMar DeRozan?
Damn, that's tough.
DeMar DeRozan, number nine. Like, you have to hit your picks, you know? Like, and it's tough. It's not easy, but... you know, that's where the Kings are at. Like, it doesn't, I would like to see them finish the season at least trying to build something because I feel like the basketball gods shine down on you a little bit when you at least try to play it out. And we've seen that happen in the past where the Kings have moved up to number three, they moved up to number two. But at the same time, man, the only way forward for this team is to find a star.
Basketball gods shine on you when you trained a generational talent, too. So,
yeah.
Kings don't have that, but maybe if they trade everything else, we'll get a little basketball god love.
Yeah.
Right. Blake Griffin, too, who, Hall of Famer? Blake Griffin?
Yeah, probably.
Hall of Famer?
I think so.
Never made it to the conference finals. So
Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
I think so. Yeah, his numbers are kind of crazy,
yeah,
aren't they?
His numbers are low.
Are Blake's?
No. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Blake's a Hall of Famer?
Six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA, All-Rookie Team, Rookie of the Year.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
I only say that because, like Lil Ham would say, it's not going to get us a championship. Blake Griffin, we were tanking for Blake Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wanted Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. He had a Hall of Fame career.
Mm-hmm.
Never got to a conference finals, at least with the Clippers. You know what I mean? So these things don't. Ain't nothing guaranteed no matter where you pick. You got with the right people. He got with another Hall of Famer. Like, he played, it was a great nuclear.
They were a victim of timing.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't get there, and just as it looked like they were ascending and becoming that team, here comes Steph.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Steph ended mm-hmm. the Clippers. Like, he ended mm-hmm. that version of the Clippers because they couldn't beat him.
Yep. I want to go back real quick on the whole tanking thing in regards to this. What I'm talking about too is we're talking about games 70 through 82 mm-hmm. because that's when it's really, you start to see this guy's sitting. Oh, this guy got pulled out in the second half. Didn't that happen against the Kings last year? Washington.
Oh, yeah.
When they lost in Washington, Washington benched a bunch of dudes at halftime.
Jordan Poole was coaching.
Yeah, because they were trying to lose.
Yeah. And they still
that's
won.
The thing. That's the thing. If Nick Clifford or Maxime Raynaud is having this awesome game down the stretch and they're winning, they're beating, I don't even know, Detroit. I would like to see them continue trying to win that game, even if it means, oh man, you're gonna fall behind the Clippers in the standings. I would way rather see them go chase that win with young players, with a Dylan Cardwell, with a Nate Clifford, with a Maxime Raynaud, with whoever, mm-hmm. and establish, like, look, we're trying to win here. Mm-hmm. This is the right way to do it. That's more what I'm talking about. Because I don't think there's a realm where the Kings are going to go win 35 games. Like, that's just not a... So I'm not. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I just wanted to clarify because...
I do love, though, watching last night's game. Like, you get to the four-minute mark and they put Maxime Raynaud back in. Like, mm-hmm. the only way to develop him is to give him all of the looks. Like,
it, yeah, because it's really clear he doesn't suck.
Yeah.
So...
No, I mean, he's raw. Mm-hmm. I mean, he needs some time. The game hasn't slowed down at all for him, but the way you get the game to slow down is give him more time.
Mm-hmm. He had some good moments last night where he was out on an island like, with a guard like Benedict Mathurin and held his own, was moving his feet, was staying in front of him. Those are things I love to see from Maxine.
Well, that ain't super vocal. Like, you can hear him. He is the guy running the defense from the back line. It's really good to hear because that's something that he came into camp, and they're like, this is crazy how noisy he is. That, and you know, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that, you know, you find little bits with these guys.
Sorry, James. These guys. It's crazy that this guy's talking nonstop on defense. These guys, boy, I tell
like,
you.
That's they're like, wow, he really stands out. Dude's a yapper on the defensive end.
Yeah, these guys, man, this is something else, man.
You can hear him, though, like running when we got to see 5-on-5, you could hear him barking the entire time. It's like, sure.
And you're right. I'm tripping.
The fact that that stands out.
Yeah.
These guys, boy, I tell you, man. They wonder why they're here. There was a couple. It's funny you say that because I was watching a couple times last night where it was like on a handoff or a dribble handoff, pick and roll, just a random play, and two guys would go towards the ball. And it wasn't a trap. It was clearly, because it's crazy that you say that, because I clearly was thinking, so nobody's going to talk in this situation. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, I think it was like Keon and Zach maybe, and they came off a dribble handoff, and both of them were running to guard the ball handler, and nothing happened. They end up figuring it out before anything happened. But I was like, that's the problem right there. Clearly, nobody is saying anything. Nobody's saying, hey, we're switching here, I got ball, or go back, I'm here. Nobody's saying anything. And it's funny you bring that up, because, yeah, I saw that like two times last night. Like, come on, man.
Communicate, man. It doesn't seem like it should be that hard. Yeah. Speaking of communicating, we got some clarity on the Zach LaVine situation.
Yeah.
With him talking to a reporter.
Clarity-ish.
Well, no, but you are right. He did not look and go, oh, here's a reporter. I'm going to say this thing. Mm-hmm. He was very much not paying attention, walking back to the bus. Somebody said something to him about 42 points or how did it feel to get 42 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he just went, nah.
Threw his towel at the kid. Like, here, kid.
That doesn't make what he said better. Yeah. But it does provide some texture to what he said.
Yeah, but does it? Because he said, I talk trash. I was feeling good. That's what I do. Who were you talking trash to?
That's the other part of this. I just wanted to make it clear that what Kenny said yesterday was correct. In the context that he said
on the board, what are you like putting at? There's no
on the board
over there.
It
it's
the board,
also possible.
It, and put, just like I said, the Chiefs and the Lions don't make the playoffs.
Ravens, Eagles, Super Bowl right there.
It's possible he thought the guy was a.
You've got
like
two teams
fan.
In your Super Bowl who might miss the playoffs. Sorry, James. I'm sorry, James. Go ahead.
I was saying he might have thought the guy was like a Heat fan. And sure, they're walking out to walking out to the van.
It still feels like a shot at your teammates. Maybe I'm wrong.
I just wanted to give Kenny credit for being correct.
Thank you.
And saying that he didn't realize he was talking to a media member.
And the other thing, when he talks,
it doesn't make any of it better.
But when he talks like that, once again, not to cape for Zach LaVine.
Nah, you're caping.
Not to cape for him.
Watch for the plane behind you.
But it's like when he's because the trash talking part is what stood out to me, right?
You talk a little mess to people.
So, yeah, you talk a little mess to people. So, like, if we're here, right, and I talk about and I'm not an NBA player or nothing like that, but I'm talking about me playing in West Sac on Sundays. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, hey, you know me, I'm getting them up. I ain't passing at all. I ain't passing the ball to nobody. Mm-hmm. That's real talk. I'm just talking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not literally not going to pass the ball to nobody. It could have been the same thing. Hey, man, they just give me the ball. You know what I could do. You know what I could do, big dog. Ain't that right, big dog? Ain't that right? Because I don't know, it's a media guy. I'm just talking. You know, sure. You know what I could do. They just give me the ball. You know what I could do. That's the context, potentially, of what he's talking about. It's the same thing. You know me, I get out there. I ain't playing no defense. No, I'm not literally going to just be a turnstile. Willingly.
Yeah, that's.
But you're not playing defense. Let's just get straight.
Okay. But to be clear, he's really not. He has made that crystal clear on this show for 5 years.
But again, if Malik Monk had said that, I think my reaction would have been different. If Zach LaVine had said this in the first week of the season, I think I'd have felt at least a little bit different about it. The fact that he's upset that there's people in the media, specifically people in this room, who are saying, like, man, that team quit. Those guys aren't trying. And for him to be like, no, I tell you, no, everybody's trying to figure it out. We're all trying. We're all working to row the same direction. Like, well, but then when you say that, like, if they gave me the damn ball more, like, to me feels like there's something more than just like, maybe, hey, I could do that
maybe,
every night.
No, maybe so. Maybe
like,
so.
Hey, man, KC, I heard you on Tuesday. Boy, you cooked talking about the 49ers. Yeah, I do that every day if my team let me. No. That's a direct shot at me.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the damn ball. I don't know how that could be taken as any other thing.
Anger in that. There's like a.
Well, we don't. Now we don't know that. We don't know that. We don't know that. We don't know that. He'll read a message every day.
Give me the damn ball.
That could say, "Hey, Kenny.
Give me the damn ball.
How are you?" But Kenny will read it. Hey, Kenny, how are you? Like, it's words on a screen, right? And that's all that was, which is why the whole, I wasn't trying to question the young man or the guy who reported. Cause I found it so perplexing. Like, he had video Malik, I think Keon was the other guy. Mm-hmm. And he just had this, like, out of context quote from Zach LaVine. I even had in our original note sheet, does anyone know if this quote was real? Can anyone validate? Right. Did anyone else hear this, see this, or anything? Mm-hmm. The manner in which the quote took place, now it makes a lot more sense. If you read, Zach LaVine told Chris, I think he told Chris Biederman. Yes. I assume Chris is on the road. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that.
He said he paraphrased me out of context. That doesn't make sense to
but
me.
Then, but then he doubled down on.
Right. He just said it in words.
He didn't deny. Like, no, that's not what I said. But
I think it comes across to me, because again, I'm not in the guy's head, but it comes across to me like he was trying to communicate what Kenny said. And it's like, I didn't mean that as like a specific, I have a problem with the offense or the coach or whatever. I didn't say that. I just meant I'm talking trash.
Like, I just inferred it.
I just kind of implied it.
But it's like, so to your example,
that dude put quotation marks, and
he did.
I don't. That wasn't like Zach LaVine told me X, Y, Z.
Well,
like,
and Hammer called that out quick. He was like, he has to have this on tape somewhere, or he's really, really good at remembering direct quotes.
Yeah, like because I sit next to Brendan, and Brendan can remember. Like full quotes, like right off the bat.
He also writes in color code.
Yeah, when I was
pretty fascinating to watch Brendan take notes on a basketball.
Oh, it's incredible.
Game.
That's the Kings Beat podcast, Brendan.
Yeah, and
absolutely. Where else?
No, nowhere.
I don't know.
Also, the Kings Pulse podcast, Brendan.
Does he still do that? How many podcasts does this guy host?
The Kings Beat, and that's it. Kingsbeat.com. Go on.
Yeah, actually, Brendan is switched to an iPad with a stencil, and he still color codes.
Is it still color coded?
Oh,
that's amazing.
It's incredible. Like, it's like a work of art.
If I was taking kids through a tour of a Kings game, I would show them Brendan Nunez with his line of pens.
Oh, yeah.
That he would have lay out, and they were all different colors. And to be like, what's this mean? And he walked me through, well, this pen means this, and this color means this, and this color means that.
Oh, his notes are meticulous. I don't take notes like that. I watch the game and I'm forming the whole thing in my head, and then I start writing. And then I've told you, like, as clean as the notes are that Brendan takes, like, one of my media friends looks like his notes are written with someone who writes with color crayons. Like, you're like, oh.
I've seen some of those guys before.
Now, I do want to say, though, to your example, how I say it does matter, right? Like, if they're like, Kenny, you did great on Tuesday, I was like, they let me talk. Like, I could do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's like, hey, you know me, let me talk. I'm going to do that every time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a different.
Okay, but there's also, but it's also different if you say, yeah, they let me turn the damn mic on. Like, that to me.
The damn was the kicker.
That word choice is.
There's anger, an emphasis.
Anger's too
there's
strong.
An emphasis on it.
Yeah, there's like that wording means something.
I think, much like I said about a week ago, mm-hmm. Zach LaVine just needs to leave because he ain't never getting a fair shake in Sacramento.
Nope.
Because to me, this was never really that big of a deal. Like, I kind of figured what happened specifically, like you talk about, because there was no video. Didn't feel like it was in the locker room.
Yeah.
He was on his way to the bus, and he just kind of said something. And I didn't think it was a big deal at all.
He didn't even clock it as a...
Yeah, and, like, everybody been on his head. Like, he ain't never going to get the benefit of it out here. I would... He just needs to... Like, I'm not saying that because I don't like him or just get out of town. I'm like, bro, this is not the situation for you.
Yeah,
like
sure.
They're gonna be on your head for every single thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
You should just know.
They is me.
Well, it's really tough because he's the guy that you got for De'Aaron.
Yeah,
and so you build a guy up as the face of the franchise for 8 years, and you talk about him all the time, and you put him out on every single poster, and then he's gone, and you got this guy, and like realistically, like he's not as good. As a player, and not only he's not as good a fit as a player, and so it just becomes like everyone's heaping on him. And I get it; it's frustrating, but you know, like my six quick thoughts from last night. He's also the guy who scored 2, 42, and 16,
crazy
over a 3-game stretch, which is exactly 20 points per game.
It's craziness. It's crazy, but like even last night's game, there are people that came in here. I don't think, like, anybody should be, like, I'm not really big on blaming this is why we lost. Like, it's whatever. People have good games. People have bad games. But, like, they couldn't wait to be like, Zach LaVine was the reason why. I watched Zach LaVine last night. Zach LaVine was defending a little bit. He was getting after it.
Yeah.
There was that one.
Oh, Zach LaVine
there was
not
one,
the problem last night.
Walk-in three that Benedict Mathurin hit in the fourth quarter. That was DeMar DeRozan's fault.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine came from the other corner to try and contest that shot because DeMar DeRozan didn't stop the ball. He stayed with Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this guy play after play after play. I'm not saying he's like a madman running.
Sure,
but
he's
playing. Like, he's doing what he can. Couldn't wait to get, Zach, the 42. They didn't give him the ball. That's why they lost. Like, get this dude out of here. I would tell my, Rich Paul, get him out of here. Like, it ain't going to work. People on his head routinely, almost for no reason. Like, we won't mention Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray is probably the one guy last night that didn't show up. Malik Monk, too. But Malik, and Malik is my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Malik is my guy. I love Malik. Malik ain't done nothing in 2 games.
He didn't play in the second half. That tells me something happened.
Yeah.
Like, unless he's hurt, that something happened. Like,
a full benching in the second half is...
Yeah, that to me tells me
a lot.
He probably said something he should not have said at halftime.
Probably said, give me the damn ball more.
Yeah, I don't know what he said, but like the response there is like, oh, well, you're not playing. The one thing you can do, like, that's the thing with some of these guys, specifically with Malik, the one thing you can do that will hurt him is take away playing time.
Mm-hmm.
He is a hooper. He loves, he's not a guy who's going to go in the gym and work out a ton, like lift a bunch of weights. He's not going to, he wants to play the game all the time. And if you've got to rein him in, that's how you do it. You take away his minutes. Some guys are like, no, all right, fine.
Put him on timeout.
You can
that's
give me
wild.
A night off. That's fine.
Zach. Yeah.
Great. Dennis getting a bunch of nights off right now.
I mean, we're talking six straight games over like a 2.5 week period that he hasn't played. He's questionable.
Like, maybe. Not tonight.
Yeah. When are you not questionable?
Yeah. I don't even know what's happening.
You should not be questionable after like two games.
Yeah. Man.
Wild.
Dennis went through the layup line tonight and just decided, nah.
Hip still hurts. Got a hip thing.
Hips don't lie.
Why is it always a hip? Wasn't John Collins a hip when they were faking his injury?
Oh, yeah. That was definitely a hip.
Sorry, faking, spasms. Allegedly.
I would say back spasm. I got back spasms. But if it is, a precursor to something else, like I'm not even saying like get Dennis out of here, but if they already got something lined up, like, yeah, don't play him and mess that up.
Yeah, I think that, yeah.
It's like when we talk about this, it's not to say Dennis is doing something.
No, I think
like
that
it could be.
James laid it out yesterday. We're 6 days away from that December 15th date where Dennis probably had something. I don't think they made up this injury from the jump, but he probably had something. They went, all right, you're just going to be over here for a minute. Mm-hmm. Let us sort this out. We got six more days. Don't want to aggravate this. That's what it super looks like.
Then we're going to get to December 31st and no trades have happened.
Well,
like
I was
going to
say,
Dennis has been questionable for a month.
There's this great scene in JFK with Donald Sutherland and Kevin Costner sitting on a bench by the Washington Monument. Yeah. And Donald Sutherland's character is just laying out how the entire Kennedy assassination happens and how the conspiracy happens. And I've learned that Mr. X character is a composite of multiple characters. Mm. And most of what he said isn't true. It's an incredible scene, but none of it's true. A lot of that is the basis for Oliver Stone movies. This is a great movie. It's just not true.
Sure.
His hip hurts. He's not playing basketball. It's not a fun story. Yeah. You can't, you know, it's not going to get you an Academy Award, but it's the truth. His hip hurts.
It was the playoffs.
Yeah, but.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Thank God no one said that.
I
was going to say, we've repeated Alvin too many times. The last thing we need is if it was the playoffs, he'd play.
Where's my boy at, man? I ain't seen him in. I don't think I've seen him since like the first week or so.
Oh, no, he's been there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just making sure. That's my guy.
Alvin Gentry is with Donald Sutherland in this situation. He's sitting next to James Hamm telling them how the Dennis Schroeder trade is happening.
And somebody else in the front office behind him, like, what is he talking about?
That is not how that happened.
Dennis, Scott Perry just off to the side, like.
Smash cut to Dennis what? In the training room. Like, he's like, yeah, it's still, I just can't get it right. And
masseuse working on him, like.
Man.
Yeah.
B-roll
of a call to like Troy Weaver or something, like a black and white still of Troy Weaver on the phone. Like, oh man,
let's have a rotary phone in 2025. He's got an iPhone right there. What is this?
Yeah, who holds their what phone is shaped like this?
You don't do that.
We didn't do Tuesday Tears on here.
No, we sure didn't, because we did Tuesday Tears until about 11:50.
No, but remember you said you were going to save it.
He lied.
And always do it on
as the Donald Sutherland Dennis Schroeder thing.
I couldn't even get to break on time, and you expect me to keep my show planned? Sir.
I love it. I walked in and, oh, we need to go to commercial. Yeah, I'm back in a meeting thinking complex. I have to go. Like, I gotta go.
You know what my dumb ass thought? Well, I must have said something that really got Damian fired up. I can't wait to hear what he's got to say. Oh, we're 5 minutes late.
This Wild. Is, this is the guy we put in charge.
That's right.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're in great
we're
hands.
Good.
No,
everything's good.
Hey, the cop. No, just head towards the iceberg. It's okay.
Fine.
It's
fine.
All right. Just go to the iceberg.
Not.
It'll cool us off.
Unsinkable.
It's just a piece of ice floating on top of the ocean. There's nothing underneath.
It's unsinkable. Oh, man. No. Band, keep going.
It's like
keep going.
It's like Donald Sutherland in the band. He's still playing.
I don't think Donald Sutherland was in Titanic.
Nah, we tried. All right. D'Lo and
great
Casey
actor,
coming up
though.
Next. Really good actor.
All right.
D'Lo and Casey coming up next for James Hamm. Jesse Tapia, appreciate you helping us out. I'm Kyle Madsen. Insiders back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Till then, drink water. Be nice.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford
and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.